The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org.
Become a monthly $25 contributor or an annual $250 donor, and we'll send you a flash drive of Pastor Wheaton's broadcast transcripts. Learn more on the support page at thewordendures.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
So as Christ's cross goes up, Hades starts, "Ugh, ugh, something has pierced my heart." And Satan's like, "Chill out, dude. I've carpentered up Jesus on the cross. He's done for." And Hades is like, "You idiot! Don't you see what you've done?"
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time, I laid out why I think those opening verses of 1 Corinthians 2 are really key to understanding the disjunction between St. Paul's preaching in Acts 17 and then the way he describes his coming to the Corinthians, which St. Luke relates in Acts chapter 18. He tells the Corinthians, "I was a mono-message man with you guys. I delivered that one thing to you without any lofty speech or fancy wisdom. I just told you straight out about Jesus Christ, and especially about Jesus Christ crucified." And he points out to them what they must have noticed about him when he came. He didn't come with brash self-assurance, exuding confidence. No, instead, he came in weakness and fear and much trembling. And it wasn't because he was afraid of them, but because he realized he'd failed in his commission to proclaim the cross. But he knew that would not happen again. So instead of relying on connections with Greek philosophy or poetry, he just told them about Jesus and his death on the tree. And lo and behold, that message exerted its divine power and went into them, working faith by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul was rejoicing again that their faith wouldn't rest on his clever approach to them, but simply on the good news itself. Moving ahead, a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at the 6th verse. "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, 'What eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him.' These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts, except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 11. Let us pray. Lord, open now our heart to hear, and through thy word to us draw near. Let us thy word, heir true, retain. Let us thy children and heirs remain. Thy word doth deeply move the heart. Thy word doth perfect health impart. Thy word our souls with joy doth bless. Thy word brings peace and happiness. Amen. So, ready to ponder the word of God for today, let's get on to it. Verse 6, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." Mature is how the ESV rendered the Greek term, which the King James Version translated with perfect. I honestly don't like either one. This is teleios. And so cognate to that word that the Lord Jesus called from his cross, to telesthai, it is finished. The picture then I think St. Paul is setting up here is of a human being who has been completed, who has been finished, who has come to the fulfillment of their purpose in life. And that, of course, is being joined to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. To be in Christ is to be teleios. So here, in this context, it's basically synonym for the assembly of believers itself, for the church. Or, as Chrysostom told his congregation in 4th century Antioch, the perfect are those who believe. They are indeed perfect because they know that all human things are utterly helpless, and therefore they ignore them, being convinced that they have nothing to gain from them. This is what true believers are like. So inside that assembly of human beings who have been completed in Christ, there indeed is a wisdom that the apostles impart. Not like the wisdom of the Greeks with their poets and competing philosophies. Not even like the wisdom of the Romans with their worship of raw power and their use of fear. No. This is a wisdom that does not come from this age. When St. Paul speaks of this age, he means always the world in its fallen aspect, where Satan and the demons rule, and humanity is disfigured, lost, and a divided mess. Do you remember how St. James contrasts the two wisdoms in his third chapter? Listen. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, James 3:15-17. Now, when St. Paul says, or of the rulers of this age doomed to pass away, he could be talking about Caesar and Pontius Pilate and Herod and the chief priests, etc., political rulers. Or, since he refers to Satan as the ruler over this present darkness, he might mean the demonic powers. And of course, the two are often aligned. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. We impart, understand, in our preaching of the gospel of the crucified Christ, a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Do you remember how he closes out his letter to the Roman Christians with these words? Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations. Romans 16, verse 25 and following. This is key. As my friend Todd Wilkin, he of Issues Etc. fame, likes to say, Jesus is not plan B. He is and always was plan A. And please note, that plan, hidden in God's wisdom, was decreed before the ages. In other words, before creation itself. But did you catch the end toward which it was decreed? For our glory. The wisdom of Christ crucified, hidden in God, is for your glorification, that you might shine in the joy of his eternal love. Verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So as I said before, rulers of this age who have crucified the Lord could encompass not just the political rulers of the Jews and Romans, who did indeed put Christ to death on the cross, but especially the demonic powers that prompted it. And St. Paul is like, man, if they'd realized what they were doing, they would never have done this. There is this amazing poem by St. Romanus the Melodist that is almost joyously comical in the dialogue between Satan and Hades. So as Christ's cross goes up, Hades starts, ugh, ugh, something has pierced my heart. And Satan's like, chill out, dude. I've carpentered up Jesus on the cross. He's done for. And Hades is like, you idiot. Don't you see what you've done? Satan's like, good grief, chill. Our enemy's done for. back and forth and back and forth until Hades brings Satan to realize that far from getting rid of their enemy, he was just the unwitting means of Christ releasing the prisoners from hell, death, sin, and Satan's dominion. It's a great piece. And my friend, Pastor Alan Kornacki, has even put it into verse in his little volume of hymnody called Rejoice, O Zion, Sing. It's number 36 in that volume. Don't miss this, that it is the Lord of glory who is crucified, the undivided person of the God-man. And so it is God who is nailed to the cross in the flesh, and it is God's blood that saves us, folly to the world, wisdom to the church. Verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. This sounds like St. Paul is reflecting on Isaiah 64, verse 4, which reads, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, which he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Now, the Greek version of this Old Testament text has, "the works which you will perform for those who wait for your mercy." I think you can see why St. Paul paraphrased it as he did. Who is it that waits for him but the one who loves him? And who is it who loves him but those to whom God shows his great mercy? Verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Remember back at the beginning, we had Father and Son giving us grace and peace. But now we have the Spirit, and his job is revealing or disclosing, making known what had been secret, and doing it through the proclamation of the gospel itself. He is going to open our eyes to behold in Jesus a love that was in God for us before the ages themselves began. And the Spirit can do that job because the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. There is nothing unfathomable to him. Even the mind of the Father and the Son is totally permeated and penetrated by the Spirit who reveals the crucified Christ as the revelation of the good things that men would never even have dreamt of having. Verse 11, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So there's a bit of analogy between the human spirit and God's spirit. The analogy is one of knowledge. You want to know what's going on inside the human heart and noggin? Well, the spirit of the person is the only one who really knows and can open up and disclose it for you in words. Same way with the Spirit of God. If you really want to know what's going on in the heart of God, then you got to listen to his spirit. And his spirit directs you to the crucified one and says, "That's what's going on in the heart of God for you. He loves you like that, and he has loved you like that in his Son long before you ever existed, even long before this world existed." This the Spirit alone can reveal, because he comprehends the thoughts of God. But notice that the ESV has supplied thoughts, and the King James chooses the more neutral things. The Greek kind of leaves it blank. I mean, if you translated it literally, it would be the of God. Weird. The of God that the Spirit discloses in the gospel of the crucified Lord Jesus is crystallized in the church's song. Consider these words. Almighty Father, in your Son, you loved us when not yet begun was this old earth's foundation. Your Son has ransomed us in love to live in him here and above. This is your great salvation. Alleluia! Christ, the living, to us giving life forever, keeps us yours and fails us never. That's where we're going to wrap up for today, people loved by God. Next time, we'll finish out the second chapter with some more joyous ponderings of the Spirit's work in our lives. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.